Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that message and song as well. And the unseen hand, you might not be able to see it, but you can surely know that it's there. And you can feel it as well. So praise the Lord for that message and song. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you look with me to the book of Nehemiah, and I want you to look at chapter 4 with me. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6 down to verse 15. Now, understanding in Nehemiah, we find here that Israel had been in 70 years of captivity because of the rebellion against God, and God put them in captivity. But then, after 70 years, God had delivered his people out of captivity and allowed them to go back to reclaim the homeland that God had given to them and reclaim Jerusalem. And Nehemiah was God's servant who would lead the nation of Israel back to rebuild the walls and to restore civil authority. The foundation and the temple had been accomplished. Now Nehemiah goes back and he is scheduled, as God had led him, to lead Israel to restore civil authority, which would have to be rebuilding the walls to be able to secure the city, the inner city. And if you've ever been to Israel and you've ever been to Jerusalem, you can see the walls and you have a better picture as far as what was taking place. And that's when you look at the book of Nehemiah and you study history. This is not Bible. The Bible is the most proven history that you'll ever read. It's the most proven science that you'll ever study. Amen. It's the Word of God. It's true. And so, but this is what God has revealed to us in history here in the Bible concerning the nation of Israel, which is God's chosen people. And so let's go ahead and stand, and we're going to be reading here Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6. And the Bible says, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made up our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. There is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. It came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places when ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I, Nehemiah, in the lower parts, places behind the wall, and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and unto the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned, all of us, to the wall, every one unto his work. I don't know about you, but that's one powerful passage of Scripture for us today. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for the holy, eternal word that you have recorded for us and preserved for us to be helped and strengthened by. And I pray, God, for all that are a part of this service, whether here in this auditorium or watching via the live stream, and only you know exactly what everyone is struggling with and what kind of mindset they have. But God, we look to you this morning. We pray that you would just bear witness with our spirits, your spirit bearing witness with our spirit, that you would continue to work through the services here at this church and empower the preaching of thy word at this time to be able to minister to all. I ask, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Wow. Nehemiah was God's servant who would lead the nation of Israel, the remnant of those that are going back into Jerusalem, to rebuild the walls and restore this civil authority. Because this would be God's will, and this would be God's work. No one around them thought it possible at first. They made fun of them, laughed at them, didn't think that there was any way that they could rebuild the walls of Jerusalem because they had been so totally demolished. And yet the people had a mind to work because they knew it was God's will and God's work for them to be doing what they were doing. And they were halfway there. And that's what the Bible says in verse 6 there. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. They've been working very hard. The people were determined to accomplish the will of God, and they was working to get that done. And they had half of it done. Half of the wall had been built. And then verse 7 and 8 reveals the opposition came. There's always been, always will be opposition to the work and the will of God. In your life individually, as a church, and as humanity, there's always going to be opposition to God because there's a devil. And the Bible says, and conspired all of them together. They conspired. They wanted to show a physical threat, but they knew that the physical threat was not what was going to get the job done. And so they had other plans, but they conspired to hinder God's will and God's work. In verses 10 through 12, it reveals some of their plan and what had taken place, but the greatest challenge that Nehemiah would encounter would be Judah. Or, if you will, his own people. And Judah said, now, the Judeans, those that look to the God of creation as their God, who understood that Israel was God's chosen people, who understood that Jerusalem was the promised land, part of the promised land that God had given to them, and God had put the temple there, and God had the walls for security. But they were the ones that were the greatest challenge for Nehemiah to overcome. And it's because that Judah had allowed themselves to be defeated by the conspiracy of the enemies. Can I tell you today, born-again believers, we must stand strong. We must not allow the conspiracy, whatever it might be, and some will have a lot different take on the conspiracy theories. But there is a devil and there is a conspiracy. There is. To discourage anybody who wants to stand for the truth. Anybody that wants to look to the Bible and understand that we do have a creator God and we do have a Savior and we do have an indwelling Holy Spirit and He has established a church and He does want us to do a work. There is a great work being done today. It's been done by and through God's church. Verse 13 to 15, we're going to break this down and preach it just a little bit, but Nehemiah was able to get all his workers, Judah, to return to their work. And he says, all of us to the wall, everyone unto his work. They returned. And we know because we have it written, recorded for us, we know what eventually happened. They got the wall finished. And they were back in their homeland. I'm sure glad that we have the full revelation of the Bible. We know how it ends. And can I tell you, no matter what happens up to then, we are victorious. Yeah. The church will be victorious. God's will and His work will be accomplished. Can never lose sight of that. It's a great Bible story for all Christianity to look to today. A lot of similarities. A lot of great biblical principles that we need to look to. But the first thing is, we need to continue to praise God for His authority and His power to get His work done. The simple fact of Nehemiah being back in Jerusalem, having the workers that was needed to accomplish what God wanted to have accomplished, to be able to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, can I tell you, that was a miracle within itself. And if we would have time to study the historical event there and what the Bible says about it, but let me just help you to understand what's taking place. God had led Cyrus, who was king of the Persian Empire, of the whole world. There was the Persian Empire. This was the most powerful king and the most powerful army in that day and age. Everyone would have feared Cyrus, king of Persia. And yet God worked to allow Cyrus, to lead Cyrus, to allow Israel to return to their homeland. Something that was unheard of at that time. They had been defeated, they had been living there in captivity, and now He makes a decree they can go back to Jerusalem if they want. They choose to. And not only that, can I tell you that history records that Persia financed this endeavor. Yeah. Persia financed it. The rebuilding of the temple, now the rebuilding of the wall through Nehemiah, that in itself was an act of God. Maybe an unseen hand. They didn't know why and how it happened, but can I tell you, we as born-again believers saw the hand of God working even on the king of Persia to enable and to allow His people to do His will and to accomplish His work. That in itself ought to be an encouragement to everyone who believes in God. Because today, his work is his church. And we serve the same God who has the same authority and the same power to get his work done, no matter who's in office, no matter what we will face. This year, I'm going to tell you, we face things as a church that's different than anything that I think the church has ever dealt with. The church throughout the last 2,000 years has dealt with a lot of opposition. They've dealt with a lot of persecution, and there's been a whole lot. And God's work has continued to go forward. Even in the pandemic that we are facing now, the COVID, and to think of what has been taking place, and even with the ministries that we have here, and that was a blessing when we, of course, our television program and on Channel 40 airs every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, and looking at this, seeing how it was going to do. Live stream's free. You know, we pay for a television program. But then we look at that, and they showed us how that 800 had at this time last year, but now there's 1,600. They know that they can keep traveling. I don't know how they do it, but they know how many homes we're going into. And on every Sunday, there's 1,600 homes that are viewing our services. We've opened up live stream. I was always against that before. Now we have missionaries all around the world watching our services. They're quarantined. They can't get out. And yet they have our services that they're watching around the world via the live stream. Only God had a plan for the technology that we have today. God gives the wisdom for technology. I guarantee you that. God is the one. He is the wise one. He's the one that gives us the insight and the technology that we have today. And the technology that we have today is in alignment with the revelation of the last days, where everyone at the same time can view every event that's taken place on planet Earth. They would not have been able to do that when God gave us the revelation that's where we would go. But we have that today, because of God's authority, because of God's power. There's opposition, but God has still got the authority and the power to overcome all opposition to his work and his will. So I'm saying, praise God for that. Jesus knew that as well. And let me just read to you Matthew chapter 16, a very familiar passage of scripture, but we have to understand the work of today, the work that God wants us to accomplish, and the vehicle by which he is accomplishing his work is what Jesus Christ came to establish. And in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" He wanted his apostles, because they would take the lead in the apostolic age once Christ would leave. They would have to know the will of God. They would have to know the work of God. They would have to look to and depend upon the power and the authority of God. And so he says, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's the faith that we are established by today, that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjonas, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Because it is God's work and it's God's will. And God will accomplish his work today, because it's his will to accomplish his work today. He has the power and the authority to get it done. Yeah. They were halfway done. They ought to have been rejoicing. We'll see that over being able to be where they're at. I think we're a little bit more than halfway done. I think if we look at the signs of the times and everything else, we are in the very last days before ultimately what's going to happen. The church is going to be raptured up. And then the whole nation will turn blue. Yeah. But praise God for where we're at. We made it thus far. The church is strong, is what I'm saying. Because the church is not dependent upon who's in the offices. It's not dependent upon anything other than God. And he's still on the throne. He's still very much actively involved, not only in the church, but in your life if you're saved. He ought to be Lord of your life. And if he's Lord of your life, can I tell you, he has the power and authority to enable you to accomplish all that he has for you to accomplish. No matter what we have to face. We will face some struggles. We will. We are. But we can finish what God has for us to do. Yeah. As we look back to Nehemiah chapter 4. Can I, just for a couple minutes here as well, look at the second point is learn why the work stopped. Learn why the work stopped. And the first thing that reveals, that God reveals to us here concerning that, is that they lost sight of God's authority and power. And they focused on the rubbish. Look at verse 10. And Judah, these should have known better. The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. The bearers of burdens are the workers that was taking all the rubbish, the broken down wall. They had to be able to remove all that. They had to get it ready so where they could erect a new wall and get the wall built. They were halfway done. And now they say the bearers of burdens, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. And there is much rubbish so that we are not able to build the wall. Too often we try to decide what we can do and what we're able to accomplish. When the conspiracy comes against us, you realize you're no match for the conspiracy. You're no match for the devil on your own. Satan is very wily. Satan is very powerful. The world is actually his domain. Outside of you staying close to God and keeping your faith and trust in him, you have no defense. That's what the Bible very clearly reveals to us. And somehow they had got their eyes off of God and who had led them to where they had been when they should have been rejoicing just because, hey, we're back in the homeland. We're no longer in captivity. And we have this opportunity of a lifetime to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And they ought to have been rejoicing with the opportunities that God had provided for them. But they were not rejoicing because they were not looking at things as God would have them to look at things. Focus more on the rubbish than on the power and the authority of God. And their strength was decayed. See, a loss of courage and strength are symptoms of one of Satan's most powerful tools, discouragement. Can I tell you, this is part of the plan of the conspiracy. Not to physically come in and force them in a battle, but to conspire against them, to discourage them to the place that they've quit. That has happened. There have been several families, which is very sad, and I've talked to preacher friends of mine around the entire United States of America, and they're all experiencing some of it as well, that some have been discouraged by all the things taking place and being out of church because of the COVID and not staying in touch and everything else, that they have fallen by the wayside. Discouragement's led them to turn away from the very thing that can help them to overcome discouragement. Their church. Verse 11 and 12, it says, and our adversary said, this is what they had going in their minds. This is what they were trying to influence the Judeans who had given up on their ability to finish the wall. They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. It's for naught that you continue to go. It's for naught that you think you can continue to have the testimony that God wants you to have and to do, accomplish what he wants you to accomplish. Everything is going against you now, and so you might as well just quit. It came to pass in verse 12, when they, Jews, which dwelt by them, they were there, that dwelt by them, they said unto us 10 times from all places, when she shall return unto us, they will be upon you. See, they listened to the wrong voices. They listened to even other Jews who had been discouraged. Can I tell you that discouraged people would discourage others? Yeah. If you're not careful, you're listening to those who are discouraged and already lost the battle. Because they will discourage you if you'll let them. We need to make sure of who we allow to influence us. Especially when we're going through some of the conspiracies. We're going through some of the battles that Satan is waging against us individually and as a church. So lastly here this morning, real briefly here, learn what Nehemiah did. Learn from what Nehemiah did. Because this is important. This is what God has given to us. Verse 13, therefore said I. Set I. Nehemiah says, all right, I know what I'm getting ready to do, so I'm going to find me a place where I can see everybody. And everybody can see me and hear me. So he says, set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places, I even set the people. He had them all, gathered them all together, and he put them where he wanted them to be. I set the people after their families. Because this is you, just not you, it's your families that will be affected by this. And not only your families today, but generations to follow will be affected by the decisions that we make today. I've seen it. Pastoring and in ministry 40 years, and I've seen how the decisions of one generation has led to their children getting completely out of church and their grandchildren being completely out of church and no connection to God. And ultimately, because of no connection to God, is going to die and go to a devil's hell. Don't lose sight of that. That's the ultimate. That's the end result. It's just not the church. It is the end result of humanity. And they even set the people after their families with their swords and their spears and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers, leaders, if you will, the pillars in the church, and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, and your wives and your houses. He pulled them together and armed them with weapons fit for their warfare. It was not going to be the weapons of the physical warfare that they would need, but he did arm them, with their swords and their spears and their bows. Maybe to give them a little bit of physical, a little bit of something they could hold on to. And they might have to go to war, who knows? War sometimes is just inevitable. But that's not how they would win it, and neither it is how we'll win it. It's not about taking up arms, especially against other Judeans, other believers, other citizens of the United States of America. It's not about taking up arms. It's not about a physical battle. It's really not. We've been armed by what it's going to take to overcome the spiritual battles. Revelation chapter 12, and I've got to hurry here, but I want you to get this and write it down if I go too fast for you. But Revelation chapter 12 reveals to us about the war in heaven, reveals to us about how the devil came and was kicked out of heaven, if you will, and the earth became his domain. In verse 11, it says this, and they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Now, I love that because, and then it goes on to say, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And I believe his wrath is going to become more and stronger and stronger. And his idea of conspiracy is going to become more and more powerful because he sees the end of his days. But the solution to that is that remains the same. The solution to that in our what we need to take on as far as our weapons of warfare is, first of all, Jesus. And the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb is our strength. The blood of the Lamb is our authority. We put ourselves in him. We put ourselves under the blood of Christ. Our sins have been washed away. We become the children of God and therefore have a witness and a testimony that the world needs. Don't let anything take that away from us. You put yourself underneath the authority of Jesus Christ, his church. He's the head of his church. Make sure that you're in the body whose head is Christ. I've said this many times. How do you know your body's your body? How do you know this body? How do I know this body is my body? Because my head's on it. You know your body is your body because your head's on that body. And if your head's on that body, then that's truly your body. If Jesus is not the head of whatever church, whatever doctrine it is that's being presented, it's not a true body. For it to be a true church, you have to have Jesus as a head. That's part of what we need to make sure of to be able to overcome the conspiracies. And then our testimony. And by the word of their testimony, you look to the word of God to make sure that you're living according to the word of God, which is your testimony. That will not only protect you, it will help others to know what they need to do to have the power of God, the authority of God, and the will of God. And then love not their lives unto death. That is their focus. Focus is not about you. It's not about me. It's far greater than that. It's about God's will and God's work. Yeah. His counsel. And then he said in verse 14, go back and I got to quit. And I looked. Now he's got them all positioned, right? He positioned himself. He positioned them. And he said, then he says, and I looked and rose up and said. Now I like that because what he's getting ready to do is he's going to preach them a message. You see, when you come to church, you come and most of the time you sit with your families unless you have young people and you have them come up here. They'll let the young people sit together and give them a front row seat, amen, so that I can watch and make sure they're not sharing notes and they're not doing things they shouldn't be doing. They have the youth pastor right behind them with a long rod getting ready to hit them over the head. And they're able to see me. So the closer you are, the less distractions. You've heard me say that the farther back you are, the more distractions you have in front of you, which means that you could be hindered from hearing the word of God. And so we ought to fill up the front seats front first, right? But anyway, what Nehemiah is doing here, he says they need to hear the truth. They've been listening to all these conspiracies. And the conspiracies are coming to hinder them. And their thinking is not where it needs to be. And so let's get them all together. And he gets up and he says, I love what it says, is I looked. Had the look of a preacher. Look of a preacher who was serious and dead on. Maybe even had a finger he's pointing out at him. When you come to church, you ought to come to have your toes stepped on. When you come to church, you ought to come asking God to speak to you as you have need to be spoken to, because you might have wrong thinking. And if you have wrong thinking, then you will not accomplish God's will or God's work. And so you come to church as we have been commanded to do so, and we assemble ourselves together and we listen to the preaching of God's word
so we can leave with the right thinking. Only God knows what you're thinking, but I guarantee he knows what you're thinking. And he knows what you need. I understand that so much, and there's a lot of pressure. There truly is pressure, especially in trying times, upon genuine preachers. Preachers that want to help people. Preachers that want to make sure you have God's message for God's people. I'm here on Saturday nights, been doing this for my entire pastorate. Last night I was up here praying, laying on the floor, praying for the congregation, praying for the service today. I go through the membership list, and I put myself in your homes. And I pray for you, and I say, God, use me. Keep my mind focused on your word. Keep my heart where it needs to be. Especially as we go through some trying times, we need the word of God. And God has chosen through the foolishness of preaching to speak to us. Not only do you need the word of God, you have to have the word of God presented to you. Nehemiah knew that. He preached to them to refocus, get rid of fears, and remember the Lord, which is great. And terrible, that means great and powerful. Yeah. And put your hope in him. Our future is in our hope in God. Not anything else. Yeah, we might be inconvenienced and we might not have things the way we'd like to see things. And we might have different things going. But our hope's in God, who's real. Who has the authority. Power to accomplish his work. God will accomplish his will and his work. Allow him to work through you. They got back to work. We returned, all of us, to the wall, everyone unto his work. I love the song, Because He Lives. Because He Lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future. Life is worth the living just because He lives. Can we sing that this morning?
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future. Life is worth the living just because He lives.
He lives with the same power and the same authority for us today. If I could have every head bowed. Let's bow before the Lord. People heard the message from Nehemiah. And then every one of them individually determined, it's God's work. It's God's will. I'm going to get back to doing exactly what He has for me to do. Father, we bow before You and love You, Lord. And thank You for the truth of Your word. Thank You for church today. Oh, how we need it. I pray, God, that we would all receive what You have for us and make applications as we need to, especially to get back to right thinking and then right actions. Bless now this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Go ahead and stand with me this morning, if you will. Singing a verse of invitation. If God spoke to you this morning, an invitation is an opportunity to respond. You can respond here in this auditorium. You at home watching live stream, if God spoke to you right where you're at, you need to make the decision. Don't let this time and this opportunity pass you by. Return to God's power. Return to God's authority. And do what God would have you to do. Will you do that? There might be some that would say, preacher, I don't know for sure that I have God living in me. You can't go back to a point in time in your life when you acknowledge that you were lost and on your way to a devil's hell, and then somebody introduced Jesus Christ to you. And you wanted to be in under the blood of Christ, and so you asked Jesus Christ to forgive you your sins and to come into your heart and save you. That's being under the blood. That is the first thing we need to be able to defend against all the conspiracies, all the attacks of the devil. Be under the blood. If you're not sure that you're under the blood, then come this morning. Let somebody show you what the Bible says you must do. Salvation. Free. God wants you to give it to you if you'll just but receive it. As we sing this morning, the very first verse, if God spoke to you, we invite you to come.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the same.
Want to come to the altar and get along with God. No one's going to force you to pray with them. You can come, just you and God, right at the auditorium, right here at the altar. Sometimes we need to make that move toward the altar.
Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely. The light of His glory and grace. praise the Lord for many have come forward and the decisions made. I think we have one right here. Yes.
Elijah was saved a couple years ago.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And of course, that's mom and dad. When they're that little, there it's up to them. They know their you know your children. And once you know that they know that they're saved. Don't tell them that they're saved. Let them tell you that they're saved and why that they know that they're saved. Amen. Once they get to that place, then they're ready to identify with Christ as they come and ask you. And so that's up to mom and dad. And so is Elijah? Elijah is coming this morning. Praise the Lord, Elijah, for that decision that you made to want to identify with your Savior. And so is that something you want to do tonight or tonight? Okay, so we'll have that baptism tonight. And so we'll look forward to that. Okay. Any other decisions made this morning that need to be made public? What a blessing to be in church. I trust that you've been encouraged and strengthened as God would have us to be encouraged and strengthened, okay? Of course, with the COVID, we haven't been passing around the offering plates because of the idea of passing the virus and that type of thing. We haven't been using the songbooks. That's why we're still reading the lyrics on the screen behind me. The screen there. I've never been one for having screens. I don't know, but anyway, people are starting to get used to that. But we're doing that because of the COVID thing, and the same thing with the offering plates. Since we're not passing, we're having you to drop off your offering as you leave. And before, the deacons would be coming up and they would read a Bible verse and then they would pray for the offering before we receive it. So we're going to get back, and we're wanting to use our deacons again. So we're wanting them to come at the end of the service. They're going to be praying for the offering, and then they'll dismiss us in prayer, okay? And so we're trying to get back to a little bit more normalcy here with how we do things. And so our head deacon right here, Brother Brian, is going to come. He's going to dismiss us in prayer, and he's going to pray for the offering, okay?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do say thank you for the opportunity you've given us to be in your house, to hear your word taught in Sunday school and then hear your word preached, to sing and worship you. Lord, we're thankful that you are not elected. Lord, you can't be impeached, that you control the world and that you are in control of everything that's going on. We've heard today, Lord, about your working and how you desire to work through us and in us and despite the adversaries that are here. Pray that you'd give us the strength and faith that we need. We thank you for the opportunity you do give us to worship you through our tithes and offerings as we take and as we give or as we send in the tithe checks. Lord, we're acknowledging you and putting you in a rightful place. Give us the wisdom as a church to take those funds and to use them to be a blessing here locally and to get the ministry strengthened and get the word of God out, as well as to be a blessing to our missionaries throughout the world, and help the church families to be faithful to give. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.